Our guest today, Taj Mahal, has a new album called Maestro that looks back on songs from his career and comes out as Taj celebrates the 40th anniversary of his first album, simply called Taj Mahal. He and his band will play live for us from the stage of World Cafe Live. Taj grew up with music. His Caribbean father was a jazz pianist and arranger, and his mother was from the South and sang gospel. And Taj was turned on to guitar by his stepfather. Before Taj Mahal made that first album, he was in a band with Rai Cooter called the Rising Sons, who couldn't compete with the British Invasion's reflection of the blues back at Teenage America. I asked Taj to talk about that first album.
Well, a lot of things happened that made that album like it was. First of all, my first introduction to guitar music that I was playing was the straight blues.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but straight blues from North Carolina. And of course, the blues was in the mix, and the blues was in the people. So it wasn't nothing was really far away. What started happening that started bothering me was that all of a sudden there was this disconnect between the music, the people, where it was coming from, and even that it was from here in the United States. The majority of youngsters in the '60s thought the Rolling Stones came up with the blues, and I wasn't mad with them. I liked those guys because they actually did a wonderful job, and they stayed on it. Eric Clapton stayed on it. I mean, they really had a solid thing, but they didn't have all the. It's sort of like what's happening now politically with Barack Obama, where his father's from Africa and his mother's, European-American from the United States. He doesn't have the American baggage. Well, the same thing happened with those guys in Europe at that time. They didn't have all the baggage that goes along with, being brought over on ships and whatnot. So they could go right to the point. And in my case, half of my family's from the Caribbean. So from my father's side, I had the same kind of point of view. It's like, okay, we know that went down, but this music is good, and I'm young enough to play it and get involved in it. And now it looks like there's an opportunity that it's being resurged and get involved, and don't carry no grudges. So I just got busy, it was hard trying to find musicians to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There were oftentimes, African American musicians that were really good, but they couldn't see no reason to be going on the road playing no blues with no brother, and then some of the European American musicians, they had all the heart, but they didn't have the ability to play it. That's until I started running up on guys like Rai Cooter. And then the guys that hung around Jesse Davis.
Jesse Ed Davis.
Yeah, Jesse Davis was a wonderful Native American player. He's a Kiowa Comanche guitar player from out in Oklahoma. And so basically it was like 16 or 20 hours of jamming plus a couple of well-placed songs that Davis did arranged. He arranged Diving Duck Blues. He arranged, Statesboro Blues. He arranged Dust My Broom. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it was pretty much my arrangements and, head arrangements at the moment for that first album. The second album, you can see, was a lot more cohesive. It was like wild energy on the first album. I had to go and learn my own licks because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just excited to be up in front of the mic saying
Well, now, when you went together to put together Maestro, to get some other people to play and sing with you, Tosh, I got to say, what comes out of this album for me is you and your voice just sounding really, really great. How did you choose what you were going to look back and what you were going to do as things that, because there are new songs on here as well?
Well, we're a live band. I've been playing live all the time, so I'm always in contact with the audience. It doesn't feel like I've never really been off the road ever, really, literally. Finding all these different people were friends of mine. We've all spoken to one another and said, we've got to do something over the years. Ben Harper, man, let's do something together. Oh, I don't know. Well, what's your schedule? Like, man, I'm overloaded right now. Same thing. And then Jack Johnson, we talked about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even 7 years ago, about doing something. And just couldn't put it together. But this time around, it was like, I could figure it out. I figured out at everybody's leisure what could be done. you know, a lot of it was there were other people that were involved that we wanted, but, you know, it worked out according to what kind of time we had, what kind of time everybody had, and picking good songs, you know.
Indeed. And we should say hi to Kester Smith and Billy Rich, who's playing bass and drums and bass, respectively, as part of this great trio. We didn't plan a set list, so where do you want to go next?
Right here. Thank you very much.
Queen Bee from Taj Mahal playing live for us today here in the World Cafe. Taj, I'd love to talk a little bit about you growing up. I want to make sure I have this right. Your dad is the one who's from St. Kitts Nevis, and your mom was from
South Carolina.
And I got to check this because I read somewhere that Ella Fitzgerald called your father the genius.
Yeah, genius, yeah.
Now, what was that? What was the context?
Well, the context was that, you know, Caribbean people, oftentimes when they know in the world that if you have African background, people are going to look down on you, okay? And because of just the histrionics of the world, it doesn't have anything to do with the truth or not. But in order to really counteract that situation, if you're a musician, people are going to look and say, well, yeah, he's good, got all that natural rhythm. You know, okay. So then it's like, well, it's a little, it's, you know, somewhat less. It's harder for me. I can't, you know, sing a tune in a bag. You know, so what happens is that they really push young musicians to learn classical music, to be able to play legitimate music in front of the world, so that when they, you know, when they make the shot in any other kind of music, somebody says, well, you know, blah, 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 they're playing that kind of music. Somebody says, you should hear him play Rachmaninoff. You know, you should hear him play, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. So constantly that kind of thing happens. So he was a classically trained musician who grew up during the pre-bebop era, when ragtime, jazz, swing, you know, stride, all that kind of stuff. And he read. And at that time, he met my mom. He was a copyist for all those big bands, and he was hanging out in the Savoy Ballroom, mm-hmm. doing copying stuff and around the Hotel Teresa, you know, next to the Apollo Theater, and working in and around all those people. So they knew him because he'd come in and do all the copying for the bands, and that's how she knew him. And actually, I actually got a chance to talk to her about that, because, I mean, it was like legend and myth in the family. You know, your mom will tell you anything when you want to make your dad look good, you know. Why, you should have seen him in his suit when he came home from the war. He was just so exciting with those muscles. You know how moms will tell you, you know, and you're like, wow, my dad, you know. Okay. That's kind of like the context that it came down. So I talked to her. I ran into her actually in Honolulu at the Honolulu Band Show. She had some concerts, I don't know what years this was. It must have been in the 80s. I remember there. It's at some time like that. And I stopped and talked. Got the band's chance to talk to her. So she just stood back and said, oh, Eugene is this boy. Ooh. That was pretty nice, you know.
What? Now, your father passed away when you were fairly young, right?
Yeah, 11, 12.
But then your stepfather was a guitar player.
No, he wanted to be a guitar.
Oh, okay.
No, this is really funny. It's like, you know, years later, somebody comes up and writes a book about me. All these people around me start chiming in on their point of view on me, who I have no idea what they were thinking at the time. We just went along with the whole thing. So my stepfather says, well, you know, he's from Jamaica. He came up to pick tobacco up in the Connecticut Valley. He actually worked all over the United States, liked that area the best. But came to pick tobacco up there. Had a friend of his who was a guitar player. He bought a guitar, trying to learn. He just said he couldn't learn it, and he stuck it away. So when he and my mom got together, the guitar went in the closet, unbeknownst to me. One day, you know, with a bunch of kids' stuff, I happened to get into the closet and went, oh my God, what is this? You know, by the time I was like guitar crazy and a half, you know? And, you know, couldn't even think about rubbing two nickels together. And here's his guitar. And then it's like all the serendipity starts there. The next door neighbors are from North Carolina, good friends of ours. The dad and mom in a 14-kid family are the last to move up from North Carolina to Massachusetts. And the one son that's about my age, Linwood, he was a guitar player. But I didn't know. We started talking, you know, a bunch of kids. And what do you do? I play marbles. Well, you play baseball? Yeah, man, I play baseball. Well, you got a bat? Well, I got a ball. Well, I got a bat and I got a glove, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, I play guitar. You don't play guitar. I said, you play guitar? I went like, phew, got the guitar. Phew, let me see what you can do. And he tuned the thing up and started playing. I was like, okay, well then, you know, I mean, it was a done deal after that. And then Bo Diddley's on the radio, Chuck Berry's on the radio, Muddy Waters is on the radio, Howlin' Wolf is on the radio, and my favorite Jimmy Reed is on the radio. And all these people are playing, B.B. King's playing, you know, and I was just like in heaven learning all this stuff at that time. So I was lucky enough to get it without, you know, I mean, the popular misconception is that he went to college and he heard folk music, you know. I went to college and heard folk music and said, yeah, all right. I guess what I'm doing is cool, too.
Well, what's next? What do you
what's
think?
Next? Let's see. Well, we can do this. I'll tell you what.
Remember you, baby, back in 1959. You were 17 years old, baby, and you sure looked fine. You did a little rat tat 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 tattoo on this heart of mine.
You make a strong man hollow,
make a weak man lose home. Mama said, son, watch out for you. She gonna put some hoodoo in the voodoo, she do. She might get evil, work some rules on you too.
She make a strong man holler,
make a weak man. Baby, you so fine, you make me wanna smack myself. You so fine, I wouldn't want nobody else. And when I get home, don't put your good loving on the shelf.
She still can make a strong man holler,
make a weak man lose his home. Man, know how long you went away, and how long you stay? And every man hollered and hooted just to hear you say,
she still can make a strong man holler,
make a weak man lose his heart. I remember you, baby, back in 1959.
59. You're 17 years old, baby, and you sure look fine. You did a little rat tat 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 two 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 on this heart of mine.
You make a strong man holler.
Make a weak man lose his heart.
You still can make a strong man holler.
Make a weak man lose his heart.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, darling, you can still make a strong man holler.
Make a weak man lose his heart.
Taj Mahal, that's one of the new ones from Maestro, Strong Man Holler. I want to talk about that voice, that Howlin' Wolf voice that you use in a bunch of songs on this. That really, but that's it goes way back, doesn't it?
Well, that's a masking voice. It's all on different cultures over throughout the world have some version of that.
What do you mean masking?
Well, I mean, the tube and throat singers are like another version of it. Then different places throughout Africa, when they want to invoke certain kind of spirit, you see this picture of this great triangulated raffia spirit with the big eyes, and this guy's whirling around, and that's the voice he's got on the inside of that. You know, and then nobody knows who that guy is from the village. You know, this just passes along. You know what I mean? Charlie Patton actually really literally passed that style to Wolf. Wolf learned it directly from Charlie Patton. I mean, you know, there's some other folks out there doing stuff.
And then you doing your Wolfman Jack impression on that old single.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Wolf, see, if you lived on the East Coast, Wolfman Jack is second to the whole thing, because there was a guy up in New York State named The Hound. Hound Dog Lorenz, and I was like a radio freak, a little young kid that my parents wouldn't let me play the radio late at night, okay? So I built myself a crystal radio set so they couldn't hear me because I had an earphone on. And this guy used to come on, hey, if you want to hear the blues, it was late at night. You know, they were not going to play the blues in Massachusetts. You know? Okay? You know, there was no blues up here. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got a little bit of it on, but it was late at night after all the radio stations went off, and then all these places would come up from like Nashville and New Orleans and Memphis, and then Hound would come in, and he just had just this great music, man. I mean, it was like, it was everything that they had cut out of popular music, you know, and every now and then something good would come through, Fats Domino, Little Richard, blah, 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 but then, you know, as time went on, you got less and less and less of that, so you had to go digging for it, you know.
Taj Mahal is our guest, and we got time for one more. What would you like to do?
I'm going to play banjo on this tune. This is a tune called Slow Drag. This is on the album. It unofficially is an ode to New Orleans and the music from down there, because banjo has really continued in the New Orleans music, and of course it's in country music, not as much as it used to be, but you know, there are still some people learning how to Scruggs pick and Frail and do banjo. I'm a flat pick on this one. This is a jail tale of woe.
Mm-hmm. she was from New Orleans. Needed protection cause she had something to sell. Said I, if I get out this prison, baby, I'm gonna do just like I please. I'm gonna take off straight running out through the nearest bunch of trees. I'm gonna be running, running, running. Thank you very much. Bill Rich on the bass. Kester Smith on the drums. And we are the Taj Mahal Trio.
Again, thanks to Taj Mahal. That is Slow Drag, Taj and that great trio with Billy Rich and Kester Smith playing live on stage at World Cafe Live. And Taj has a new album out called Maestro. If you want to revisit that session, you can find it on our website at worldcafe.npr.org.